Amid the crowd of travelers darting in front of the Avignon train station, the delivery boys on ancient bicycles swerving between children and horse carts, and the automobile drivers honking their horns, André stood relaxed, eating an apple from a fruit stand. Meanwhile, I paced in a tight circle around our carpet bags, our valises, and our crates filled with everything we could take with us from our apartment in Paris, plus the tools from his workshop, plus the dream of my life sacrificed. "Are you sure we're in the right place?" I asked. "Yes, Lisette." André plucked a broad leaf off a nearby plane tree and laid it on a cobblestone. He touched my nose with his index finger and then pointed to the leaf. "He'll park right there, on that cobblestone. Just watch." He squeezed my hand. "In the south of France, things happen as they should." But apparently in the south of France, buses didn't operate on schedule as they did in Paris, nor did the light have the same effect as it did there. Here, the light singed the eye, wrapped itself around edges, intensified colors, ignited the spine. If it were otherwise, I would not have recognized the loveliness in a bare square that was not Paris. But there it was, a shimmering watercolor of fathers and grandfathers sitting under the plane tree, their white shirts blued by the cornflower sky, which found openings in the foliage. The men eating almonds from a paper bag, passing it from one end of the bench to the other and back again, perhaps talking of better days. They looked content sitting there, while I withdrew my hand from André's and made another senseless circuit around the modest pile of our belongings, feeling his gaze following me. "Look at them," André said in a low voice. "All members of the Honorary Order of Beret Wearers." He chuckled at his own invention. Eventually, a boxy little bus, a faded relic once painted orange beneath its rust, sputtered to a stop, the right front wheel crushing the leaf on the cobblestone. André tipped his head and gave me an excusably smug but tender smile. The stocky driver bounded down the steps, nimble-footed, pointing his toes outward as weighty people do to keep their balance. He hailed André by name, reached his thick arm up to slap him on the back, and said he was glad to see him. "How's Pascal doing?" André asked.
"He gets around all right most days. Louise takes him his meals, or he eats with us."
The driver bowed to me with exaggerated courtliness.
"Adieu, madame. I am Maurice, un chevalier de Provence, a knight of the roads. Not, however, Maurice Chevalier, who is a knight of the stage."
He sent André a wink.
"Your wife, she is more beautiful than Eleanor of Aquitaine."
Foolishness. I would not fall for it. Had he said adieu? "Bonjour, monsieur," I responded properly. I was amused by his attire, a red cravat above his undershirt, the only shirt he wore, which dipped in front to show his woolly chest, a red sash tied as a belt, his round head topped by a black beret. Black hair curled out from his armpits, a detail I could have done without noticing. But I am, thanks to Sister Marie-Pierre, the noticing type. He placed a hand over his fleshy bosom.
"I deliver ladies in distress. Enchanté, madame."
I gave André a doleful look. I was in distress that very moment, already missing the life we had left behind.
"Vite, vite, vite!"
The driver circled his arm around our bags in three quick movements, urging us to move quickly, quickly, quickly.
"We leave in 2 minutes!"
Then he was gone.